decided the night before, if it be thy will, take this from me. It was God who sent Jesus to this world for us. And then in John 17, 1, it says, these things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and your Son may also glorify you. I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work you have gave me to do. Three times you hear the word glorify, and that's what it's about. So Jesus was on this earth to glorify God all the time. In Hebrews 10:17, it says, behold, I have come to do your will. And then you've heard that Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And by keeping our commandments, we glorify God. Jesus glorified God with everything he did with his life. So, what does it mean to glorify God? It means to hold higher honor and praise, to reveal, to acclaim. And Jesus glorified the God of his Father with everything he did. And God, listen to this from Isaiah. This is in the Old Testament. This is God talking. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, who I created for my glory. Amen. Everyone called by my name, who I created for my glory. Jesus tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians, if therefore you eat or drink or do anything else, what? Do all for the glory of God. You guys ever notice that these tablets get in the way when you're trying to preach? So how can we glorify God? I want to talk about four different ways we can glorify God with who we are. One, through our faith. You all know this verse by heart. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then later in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out to the place which was to receive as inheritance, and he left without knowing where he was going. Abraham's faith glorified God. And remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he use to come back at Satan? The Word of God. He had faith in the Word of God, and that's what we should be doing too. If our faith is in God's Word, then there is no fear, there is no doubt. Only trust in what God has told us and the way to live our lives. Obviously, in this world, we have to live here, but it's only temporary. And our faith and our hope is in the next world we're going, right? Eternal life is with God forever. And we are justified by faith, as it says in Hebrews 11:1. Just like Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all of their faith, all of their life was by faith in God. And Hebrews 11:13 says, all these died according to their faith, believing in him and greeting him and confessing. They were strangers and pilgrims on this earth, justified by faith. By their faith, they glorified God, and we glorify God by our faith in him as well. So number one is faith. Number two, we glorify God by communicating with him. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are we doing? We're glorifying God with our words. Hold on, I'm just trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go next. You know, where I work, many of you know what I do. I have a ministry in Mexico full time. We provide wheelchairs, crutches, walkers, and canes to people who don't have them. So every day I have people coming for those pieces of equipment that they need to make their lives better. And you know what? They never start out by saying, give me a cane, give me a crutch. They start out by saying, nice things like, wow, how nice of a guy you are. How many things you've done in Mexico. It's great that you're here. How handsome you are. Well, I don't hear that very much, but I'd like to hear it more. But, you know, they always say things positively nice about me. But I know it's coming. I know why they're there. They didn't come to give me compliments. They came because they needed mobility equipment. And they're very grateful. And you know, I really appreciate that they say that, that they appreciate me. I'm not the only one doing this. I've got a team working with, but I really appreciate that they appreciate and they recognize what we do. And God does as well. So the next time you think of something you want to ask God or you really need, think about praising Him, glorifying Him before you ask for what you need. The praise is first and the asking is second. Third, first is what? Faith. Second, communication. Third is glorify God and worship and praise. What do we do this morning, Ed? Is it because Ed likes music? Probably, right? Why do so many churches start their service by music? Well, think about Psalm 95:1. Come and let us acclaim the Lord. Let us sing with joy to the rock of our salvation. With our music, we are glorifying God. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in Ephesians 5:19, saying, speaking with yourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and praising the Lord with your hearts. That's what we did this morning, right? What a great way to start out this time together. And then the fourth one is probably the most important one. Every one of us can glorify God with what we do every day in our lives. Well, the things I talked about are things you kind of do on your own, your faith, your communication, praising God. But this is how you live your daily life. Listen to this. 1 Peter 4:10, 11. Each, according to the gift he has received, minister it to others as good stewards of God's manifold grace. If anyone speaks, let him speak according to the words of God. If anyone ministers, let him minister according to the power that God gives, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being glory and dominion forever and ever. Our life is about glorifying God. And you think about it, it is so simple. All the different things that we can do to glorify God. I want to give you four things that you can do every day in your life. One, give thanks. How many of you guys got a wife that complains all the time? Why do you do this? Don't tell me you have to do that. But you don't like her, right? Nobody likes a complainer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks when? In all things. For this is the will of God toward you in Christ Jesus. You know, things happen to us in our lives that we don't want to happen. I've been hitting this wheelchair, pushing for next year be 50 years. That's a long time. I never wanted it this way. When I was 21 years old, I was in the U.S. Air Force, accepted into Bible college, engaged to marry a Christian woman, and planned to be an airplane mechanic the rest of my life, serving missionaries throughout the world. And then this happened. Not what I planned, not what I had in mind. Now, I wasn't very happy about it. Actually, I was so happy about it, I turned my back on God for about 8 years. I was a complainer. Well, God, why'd you let this happen? I was loving you. I had my life dedicated to serve you as a missionary. Why did this happen? You know, we think about how we're complainers. You know, why do I have cancer? Why can't this be better? Why can't I make more money? But God really says, you know, you really have no right to get mad at me. I did all this. I created it. I love you. I have a purpose for your life. I think the thing God appreciates the most is when we're unhappy with Him in all things. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, we're thanking Him for who He is. Paul says in Philippians 4:11-13, I have learned In whatever situation, I am to be content. I mean, this guy went through a lot, right? I know how to be brought down low. I know how to abound. And in every situation, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you believe that God allows us to do all things through him, we really have to be happy in everything. The second thing you can do is serve others. Always look for the opportunity for those who are in need. You all know the example of this Good Samaritan. It's a parable, it's a story that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke. It's about a traveler who was stripped of his clothing, beaten, left dead alongside the road. A Jewish priest and a Levite passed him by. And a Samaritan, and you all know that everybody hated Samaritans, right? Comes upon the traveler, takes him in, and pays for his care. The story teaches that anyone in need is our neighbor. And when we help others, God is happy. You know, I love my ministry. I really do. It's going to 16 years now living in Mexico. Every day we're giving wheelchairs, crutches, and walkers to people who don't need them. We've changed lives incredibly. And it's just amazing to be able to every single day change somebody's life. And I need my wife to fix one. Okay. Come back. We need to also, number three, use our talents. Everybody have talents? Even Rock? Rock's got incredible talent. We all have talents, right? We have gifts. So dedicate your abilities, your skills to God's service. Doesn't matter what you do. I'm not talking about just your job. How does a lawyer glorify God? I tried. But everything we can do, we can share God's word. We can let other people know that, hey, man, you look really good today. We can make people feel good. Like, why did you tell me that? Not because I'm a Christian, I want to share God's word with you. So we can do everything in our lives to share with other people. And number four, lead people to Jesus through your words and actions. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine. Sorry, it's not coming up. Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Good works. We all can do good things to other people, right? Go to their house, maybe rake their leaves, ask if they can fix something. We're starting a new thing in my church in Mexico. There were a committee of people are going to go find out what people need, and we're going to go do it. Might be a couple, might be a family, might be 10 people that do the project. But like, why are you doing that? I just want to show you that God loves you. There's something you can do every day, right? Just got to keep your eyes open. What were the last words that Jesus said to his disciples? Go ye therefore into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So when you do share that gospel, you're not doing it by yourself. God's with you. And it's not your responsibility for them to accept Jesus. Just your responsibility to do something so they can maybe see our Father in his who is in heaven, to glorify God as you do. That's our responsibility. And the last thing I want to share with you, and maybe the most important, everything I'm telling you do not do it by yourself. Yes, it's your relationship with Christ is personal. Your relationship with God is personal. You have to make your own decision, right? To accept Jesus, to live for him all your life. But the rest of it you don't have to do alone. Peter 5:8 says, be sober and watchful for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion who walks around seeking who he may devour. More than once, the Bible says, an angel or angels appeared to Jesus to comfort him. Even Jesus didn't do it alone. Obviously, he had his Father, he had the Holy Spirit, he had disciples, but he didn't do it alone. He was the leader, but he had others to comfort him. Who is Satan? We don't like to talk about that guy, right? But you think about it, he's stronger, he's smarter, he's more prepared than me and you. And the Bible says he's like a lion. When was the last time anybody here fought a lion? Not lately, right? And I know nobody won. They wouldn't be here, right? The Bible says in this world you will have problems. Guaranteed. Absolutely. Anybody not had problems yet? Anybody under 2 years old? Oh, come on, tell the truth. But, you know, we have God, we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus to be with us, but we also have people. We have pastors, we have families, we have friends, and we have brothers in Christ. I miss this group. You guys really, I was having some big problems when I lived in Boulder, Colorado, and you guys really helped me out. And the Bible says it, I'm sorry, let me get back. All my life, I had problems with my dad. I want to say, Dad, I want to tell you something. And within 2 seconds, I'd be criticized, made fun of, scolding, mocking, always, always, always destroying me with his words. And I tried, I would go to my mom, Mom, why does he treat me like this? My mom would say, oh, he loves you so much. Well, I don't get it. But it's through, I remember Bill Fisher? That guy straightened out my life. He literally said, you know, your dad did all this to you and you're really struggling a lot with it. You know what we're going to do? We're going to write a letter to your dad. And we're going to forgive him. And I did. And that really helped me straighten out my life a lot. You know, things in our life are difficult. And we need other people to accompany with us along the way. And I thank God that through all my Christian life, that God has given me people to help me. Several from this group, actually. There was Bill, there was Bill Arnold, Daryl Baugh helped me a lot. And there's still a couple of you guys around. We went to, what was the course we took together, Jamie? Remember we took a multiple week course. I'll come up with it later. And I know some of you guys are still supporting the ministry. Thank you for that. I really appreciate the help. So this place is a very special place for me. And I always look for somebody in my profession, a friend for sports, somebody to kind of come alongside me with in my life. In my life in Mexico, it's even more difficult because I wasn't born in Mexico. The culture is different. They even speak different than we do. I mean, I would consider myself bilingual after 15 years. My wife is Mexican, so 99% of my day normally I'm speaking Spanish, but I still don't get 100%. I probably wouldn't get 100% from you guys either. But anyway, you know, we need people in our lives to help us, to make things run better. You know, I was a lawyer for 20 years. Any lawyers in here? Nobody wants to admit. But you think about in this life, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a carpenter, if you want to have your own business or do anything in education, in school, or in college, it did not make me a lawyer. I learned a lot about the law, but I had no idea how to start a law practice. Even with carpentry, you know, you learn the basics, but you don't learn how to be a good carpenter. You need to find someone who's better than you, who knows more than you, to come alongside you and help you. We all, it, you know, it even applies to our life, our personal life, how to be a better father, how to be a better husband, how to be a better Christian. We need someone alongside of us to help us do those things. And as you're looking for somebody like to help, in your life. Somebody younger, brand new Christian, brand new person in your profession. Find someone to come alongside you to help you as well. It's like a two-way street. I mean, just look around this room. Don't look at Rock, but no, yeah, he could use some help. Look at all the guys that you've known here forever. How many times do you go out to lunch? How many times do you have coffee together? How many times do you just get on the phone like, I got a question? Do it. It's worth it. Or it might be say, hey, can I take you out to dinner tonight? Maybe you and your wife, we could talk. Just come alongside another brother, either to give or to receive. Many of you have heard this before. And it's one of the most famous non-Christian sayings in my life. A poet, Robert Frost, remember him? The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. In 1997, when I was coming to this group regularly, practicing law in Boulder, married, participating in a lot of wheelchair sports, making a lot of money, at the invitation of a pastor who came to speak to this group, literally changed my life. Anybody remember who he was? When I say a name, you will. Sam Talent. Everybody remember Sam Talent, right? He came to this group, and I still remember the name of his sermon today. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. In my opinion, the main thing is to glorify God. But he connected me. I went to Mexico for the first time in my life at the invitation of Sam, and I gave a 17-year-old girl her first wheelchair in her life. 17 years old, never walked a day in her life, and never had a wheelchair. Imagine that. Stuck in bed. Had someone had to even carry her to go to the bathroom. So she was born with polio, never walked a day in her life. She lived in the middle of a cornfield, and the only time she could go anywhere was when someone carried her. And that day, someone carried her to a small chapel where I was, along with 30 other people, and I got to give her her first wheelchair. Her smile, her appreciation, that chair was perfect. Literally changed my life. I felt so good about that. But 30 other people went home with nothing. That's what changed my life. That day I realized why I had a disability. That day I realized God's purpose for my life. And you know, every single one of us, you agree with me, Pastor, on this one, God has an individual purpose for your life. You know, all the things I'm talking about faith, about praying, about worshiping, that's things we should all do as Christians. But we should all be looking for God's individual purpose for my life. You know, it'd be much easier to be living here in Boulder, Colorado, hanging out with you guys every Friday than, you know, living in Mexico where there's not accessible for a wheelchair. Nobody appreciates, you know, the words that they use. Listen, you don't speak Spanish, but listen to the words that they use for people with disabilities in Mexico. Inválido. Incapacitado. Sin válido. That's what people want to call me. But you know what? Because of this wheelchair, God has given me the opportunity to change the lives of literally more than 15,000 people in the years that I've been in Mexico. And Letty, go back to Letty, the girl who got the first wheelchair. She was 17 at the time, and now she's 43. At the place where she got that wheelchair, she got a job, met a nice guy, got married, two kids. Her two kids call me Grandpa. Doesn't get any better than that, right? You know, everything that we can do every day in our life to make the life of somebody else better is incredible. It's better to give than to receive, right? That's in the Bible for a reason. But we all need something. We all need helpers. I still have a lot of people helping me. I have an incredible pastor in Mexico. I think that guy treats me better than his own kids. He really loves me. He really comes alongside me. And Daniela is here with me. Hola, Daniela. She understands nothing I'm saying, but you know, she's my third wife. I've been through some trouble. My first wife was here. You know, obviously things happen in our lives and a lot of difficulties, but God's got an incredible purpose. But as we go through our life, as we go through our difficulties, find somebody else that you can help. That's what's going to make you feel better than anything else. What did Jesus do? He healed. He shared. He made people's lives better. Completely transformed the lives of those disciples, right? Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing. Jesus said, even greater things than I have done, you will do. Every one of us. And I share all you guys that have done a lot of great things, will keep it up. And have somebody else in your life who helps you. Someone that you help and someone that helps you. I think that's a perfect picture. And spend your life glorifying God with yours. Thanks for the opportunity to share, you guys.
Don't wheel away too far, Rich. Do we have some questions or comments for Rich?
I thought I'd get out of here without that. I know. How many of you, the question is your hair real or not? No.
All right.
Yeah, Ed.
How's your health, Rich? How's your health?
Oh, good. Good. I've had some issues with healing some sores on my ankles, and I spent 6 weeks in the hospital at the beginning of the year. But my general health is awesome. Thanks, I appreciate it. The name of the organization that I run is called World Access Project. If any of you guys would like to get involved, love to have the team come down. We could give away some wheelchairs and make a home more accessible. You ever?
Just tell us about Mazatlan. I have heard about it, but I don't know much about it. So.
So I live in the state of Mexico, about a 2-hour drive from Mexico City. So when people do come down, we do have churches and groups come down. They can fly into Mexico City. So, and they come and stay with us in a very nice place. And in a week, we typically provide wheelchairs to people that don't have them throughout the week. And you can imagine having a wheelchair, but you got 5 steps to get in and out of your house. So we put in ramps, widened doors to make homes more accessible. And then every year we go to Puerto Vallarta. We're going to be going there at the end of April. And we'll be donating wheelchairs for 3 days in a church there, doing a 1-day sports clinic to teach people how to use the wheelchairs that they receive, and then take them to a dolphin show. Mazatlan is in the end of September, and this year we're going to host, anybody who knows what pickleball is? Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the world right now. And we're going to have a wheelchair pickleball tournament. But we can definitely use some helpers. We're going to be giving away wheelchairs. We're going to do a 2-day sports clinic. You know, you get a wheelchair, someone's got to teach you how to use it. And so we do teach people how to use your wheelchairs. We utilize sports, activities, obstacle courses to teach people how to use their wheelchairs. And so, yeah, the end of April is Puerto Vallarta. Beautiful city. We stay in a hotel, not a hotel, a timeshare, right on the ocean. Every room has a view. Mazatlan, same thing. Beautiful, beautiful place right on the ocean, and that's the end of September.
Rich, tell them how much it costs.
About $800, and that includes everything other than your transportation. So we pick you up at the airport, the hotel's included, your accommodations, food, even a t-shirt. I'm sorry?
The name of your ministry?
World Access Project. We do have a website. And we do have a Facebook page. And you know, you guys started it, right? I gave away that first wheelchair because a guy from here, you guys changed my life. But it's a great opportunity. So my wife and I are heading up to Breckenridge tomorrow, where I lived for 7 years before I moved here. And we're gonna be skiing in Breckenridge for a week. Any veterans in the group? For a couple. The week after, we're headed over to Aspen to Snowmass. We're going to be with 400 disabled veterans for a week in Snowmass. We're going to ski, snowmobile, go fishing, all different kinds of activities with 300 volunteers to help us. All provided by your taxes. Thank you very much for paying your taxes. But actually through the Veterans Administration putting this event on. So, yeah, it's the third year that I've done it. It's an incredible experience to be with other people. Yeah.
Are there any issues with the cartels where you live, or does that affect your ministry at all?
You know, I would say no, because I live in a very quiet area, no problems, nothing. But 6 months ago, they broke into a house, found tons of drugs, arrested five people, three dead bodies below the house, and so you never know. I mean, I guess the same thing can happen here. You know, a meth lab could be two blocks away and you don't know. But where I live, I don't feel a lot of risk. But it's a big problem. I really hope that this country sends our military into Mexico to take out the cartel. Remember how bad it was here in the 1920s? Mafia was in charge of everything. And that got turned around. I think it happened and turned around. The problem in Mexico is all the police are bought out. They don't do anything. And the military really is about as strong as the cartels, the mafia down there. They're very, very powerful. They run a lot of cities. Actually, I've had a guy was going to come up and visit me when I was in the United States, and he said, I can't get out of here. They blocked off all the roads. So some places are really bad, and people live in fear of their life every day. And Danny was telling me, my wife, recently they found a... Danny, ¿cuántos cuerpos muertos? 400 dead bodies. And sometimes people just disappear. You don't know. The good thing about it is most of the things that happen in Mexico is between the police, the politicians, and the drug dealers. And the normal person is not at risk. And the events that we do have, by the way, in Mazatlan and Puerto Vallarta, we stay in a closed place with security to get in and out. So I like to tell you it's very safe, but I would say it's safe. We haven't had any problems with that kind of stuff. And I think it's between God and the fact that I do a lot of good works in Mexico that I've been safe. But there are some things going on. The difference is in the United States, there can be a shooting anywhere, right? It can be a mall. It can be a church. It can be a school. But in Mexico, it's like I said, it's not between the police, the politicians, and the drug dealers, not just anywhere.
All right, let's give him some more appreciation. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you